Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fink. On today's program, we're going to talk to a young lady whose roots run deep in Jessamine County. She graduated from Jessamine County High and she has gone on to become a USA Today best-selling author. Her name is Tanya Lowry Kappas. We'll talk to her about her life and her career after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about people and places and things of Jessamine County. Now, you know, mainly on this program, we talk about things that used to be, but we like to tie into it things that are current. So we're going to do both today because we're going to talk to a young lady whose family is deep rooted in Jessamine County, but she has made a name for herself in the literary world. And her name is Tanya Kappas. Now, you may or may not recognize that name, but you would, if you're from Jessamine County, you would recognize the last name Lowry because her dad is John Robert Lowry. Her mom is Linda Lowry, and they've got a great big family, which we'll get into in just a moment. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to scoot that right up there to
all
you
right
there.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad we finally got this worked out. We've tried to do this for a while, and I keep seeing you in some of the things you're doing on Facebook. And I thought, I've got to get her on the program. So, well, let's start by talking about your family and the Jessamine County connections that you have here. I just mentioned your mom and dad. I guess we'll start with your dad's side. Let's talk about the Lowry. There's a bunch of them kids. Maybe you can name them and your grandparents who they were.
Yeah. Well, Tug Lowry was married to Mamie Lowry. They mm-hmm. lived on 2nd Street.
Now, was she a Puckett?
She was a Puckett.
Kin to some of the, like, Lillian Thompson and Ann Harrison and that bunch.
Yes, okay. Yes, we're related to the Thompsons and, like, Paula Thompson's my cousin on
right
that side.
Right,
and then she married my papa, Tug, who mm-hmm. was a firefighter and a carpenter here in Jessamine County.
Okay.
And then they had 9 children, and 8 lived.
Bunch of
and,
them.
Yeah, so that would have been Martin Howard Lowry, right, who was right married to Ann. And his kids are Kim and Karen, mm-hmm. and Eva Joyce, mm-hmm. who's married to Jim McDaniels, and they have Jimmy and John. Then, you know, the rest of the family kind of moved off.
Yeah.
And then my dad and my sister Tracy and I. So, you know, we grew up here, and every Sunday had dinner at Granny's house,
yeah,
and we just had a good time growing up in Nicholsville. It's so small then, but now when I come back, it's so big, and, you know, they're all still here. And when I moved away, I never thought I'd be gone so long, but it's been over 20-something years.
Has
so,
it really?
Yeah, I moved away in 1994.
Northern Kentucky?
I live in Northern Kentucky, yeah.
Okay. So your dad, John Robert, you said there was 8 of those kids that live.
Yes.
And he's one of the ones that stayed. Tell us a little bit about John. Now, there's a lot of people that listen to us that are from Jessamine County remember John Robert, know John Robert. But those that don't, tell us a little bit about what your dad did with his life.
Okay. Now, he you know, obviously grew up in Nicholsville here, and he went to work for IBM really
mm-hmm.
young.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved up in the ranks and became a manager there. And really, you know, he worked there really for insurance. You know, he didn't have a college degree or anything like that. And he and my mama got married when she was 17, right out of high school, and turned 18 on their honeymoon.
Now, before you go on, let's yeah stop there. Was your mom from here?
She's from Versailles, from now, Nunsuch, really.
Okay. So how, do you know how they met?
Yeah, I do. Actually, mom was walking down the street, and daddy kept driving by her in his little convertible, honking at her, and asking her name, and she wouldn't give it. And so I don't know if you know Sharon Fannin.
Yes.
He was a real good friend of my mom's, and she said, Linda, I'm going to go on this date, and we're going to go on a double date. And so mom said, oh, Sharon, I'm not going to go. And so Sharon said, yes, yes, you're going to go. And so Sharon had a date with this guy, and, of course, the other guy happened to be daddy.
Yeah.
And so when he showed up at the house, mom said she opened up that door and said, oh, no. And so he didn't let her go since. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they've been married. It was 50 years last year. And
you said they were married while in high school? I mean,
she graduated in May.
Okay.
And she turned 18 in July.
All right.
And they got married 3 days before her birthday.
Before her 18th birthday.
Yeah.
So, well, she's put up with him for a long time.
She has. It was 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had a young set of parents.
Now, your mom worked, I guess, different banks. Is that mainly what she did throughout her life?
She did not go to work until I was about 12.
Okay.
And so Daddy worked at IBM, and then at nights he would build houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, that's what he did a lot. You know, mm-hmm. So we would go over there at night and have dinner or clean up after him or whatever it was. So he did a lot of house building in Nicholasville and a lot of subdivisions. And then he retired about the age of 50 at IBM and continued to build houses. But mom didn't go to work till I was about 12. She stayed at home. She started working for First National down there with Ben Brown.
Yeah, the old First National.
Yeah, and then when they broke off and made a new bank, he took her with him.
To Citizens.
To Citizens.
Yeah.
And then she retired there about maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she loved it. She loved being at that bank.
Yeah.
She loved it. It kept her company.
Well, you know, she was a good one to have out front.
Yeah.
Along with
down
Pam
there.
Jarvis.
Yeah, she's still there.
And they were two good ones to have in the front lobby because... See, never met a stranger.
No.
Especially your mom.
Oh, no. No, everybody else.
And your dad's that way, too.
Yeah.
All right, so they're married, and they're working, and they decide to have a family. So talk about these
girls. Well, my sister, Tracy, my mom was 19 when she had her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lived on a little – they lived with my grandparents for a long time down there on Broadway, which was Sutherland Chevrolet's old parking lot. That's where their house was,
mm-hmm.
right there at the town branch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They finally got a house, and then about 3 years later, I came along. So, mm-hmm. and we just, all the four of us, you know, did everything together and everything with our families. We lived next to our relatives, my aunts and uncles, on, I think, and Daddy, he'd either build a house or sell a house. Put the one up for sale that we were living in and build one. So we either moved or we stayed. So I lived in 14 different houses in Nicholasville.
14.
I sure did. On Robin Road, I lived in four houses right next to each other.
Now, are they still out across from high school?
They are.
They've probably been there longer than anywhere they've ever lived, haven't they?
You know what? They have. Actually, I gave birth to my son, Jack, in 1999, and that week they were moving there.
Yeah.
So they moved into that house, and there was nobody home. Tracy and I both live now in Northern Kentucky.
And that's a big house.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? We outgrow it when we're all at home, because I have four boys, and Tracy has a boy and a girl. So when we come home, actually, they have a little pool house. And Eddie and I, my husband and I, stay in the pool house while they all take over the house.
Wow.
So they can't get rid of it, because we can come back.
What about Trey? You mentioned Tracy had a child. Well, what has she done with her life?
It's interesting because Daddy always said he never thought we'd go to college, but I don't think he can ever get us out now. But Tracy, she graduated from UK with a fashion merchandising degree,
mm-hmm.
and she worked as a buyer for Kmart in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And so she moved up there and lived in Hyde Park. And then she married a boy from Lexington that went to Tate's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And now they live in Northern Kentucky about 10 minutes from me.
Really?
And she went back to school to be a nurse. So then she worked with Dr. Kiriakis, who invented the heart stent.
Yeah.
And she worked for him for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then she went back to school and got her nurse practitioner degree.
Wow.
And so now she's a nurse practitioner at a neurologist facility in Cincinnati.
What year would she have graduated?
She graduated, I think, in 84.
Okay. She was, both of you younger than I was in the 80s, but I knew she was somewhere close to me. And what year were you?
I graduated 89 with your wife.
Oh, with Amy. Okay. Well, let's switch gears to you then. So you graduated from high school, Jessamine County High.
I did.
Which before the split, and went where? Which direction did you take?
I graduated from UK mm-hmm. in education, and I was teaching here. I lived in a house up in the orchard,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved to Northern Kentucky for a school. They had recruited me to be a director of a school, private school up there. So I did that, and I was a director of a private school up there, and the school was for a lot of, like, the Bengals players, some the famous people that come mm-hmm. into town. And so I did that for a few years, and then I went back to school and got a degree in therapy. So I was a child therapist for years.
Now, we're going to delve into this deeper in just a minute, but where did the love of writing come? Has that always been in you?
You know what? No, and I didn't even bring it with me, but I do have a report card from fourth grade at Brookside Elementary, and I keep it because I do a lot of keynote speaking events because people always want to know about my start. And the teacher wrote, Tanya would have done really well this term if she would have turned in at least three of the four book required book reports. So I always joke, if it wasn't a party invitation, I wasn't reading it. And if it wasn't an invitation to something I was having, I wasn't writing it. But I ended up, just finding a whole new world in books.
Now, at what point in your life did that happen?
Well, I had actually gotten divorced from my first husband. Uh-huh. And, when my son would go to his dad's, I literally would be very depressed and upset. Yeah. So I went to my doctor. I'm like, you have got to give me some medication. She's like, no, you need a hobby. And I'm like, no. So that's when I actually went back to college and got another degree.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I know education. Mm-hmm. I'll just go back to school and take up my time. And it didn't really take up a lot of time, but I met some girls there that were my age that were in a book club. And they said, oh, come to our book club. And I said, oh, I hate reading. And I was in my 30s.
Wow.
And they said, no, come, you'll love it. We have wine and chocolate. And I said, what time is that book club? So I went, and I didn't read the book for a few months. But once I picked up the book, when my son would go visit his dad, I found that I was less sad. And I started escaping into these worlds.
Yeah.
And so years later, remarried, and I have 4 children at this time, 4 boys. And the book club's still going, and I was hosting it. And then my husband now, he realized that my spending on books had surpassed my spending on clothes and shoes. So he kind of took notice of it.
Man, you got hooked, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And so instead of picking one book for book club, I had brought 4. And I'm like, well, we're just going to look. So he actually picked up a book, and he said, you can tell a story better than this lady has written this book.
So it was his idea.
It was his idea. So then that night, do you remember when Cincinnati had all the riots?
It was
kind of sad.
Yeah.
Well, my dad had my great aunt, that lived in downtown Cincinnati in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And we used to go there all the time. And she was a hoot and a half. And she was so much fun. And they took the Greyhound down here to see us. And mom and dad would go to work. And one time they come back and found half the doors of our bedrooms were off because my uncle didn't like the way it swished on the carpet. So, so they were a fun couple. And and there was a lot of fun in downtown Cincinnati, even though it was kind of dangerous in the 70s. But I still loved every minute of it. So I was telling them some stories about my aunt that night at book club. And I said, I really hate that they're doing this in Over the Rhine because I have such fond memories of it.
Yeah.
And I was telling them the stories. And they were laughing. And they said, oh, my gosh, you should write a book about this. So that was the second person that said something to me within like 2 hours. One was my husband, and then one was the book club girls.
Wow.
And so I woke him up about midnight when I went to bed when they left. And I said, do you think I could help one reader escape their daily life like it helped me to breathe?
Mm-hmm.
I just want one reader.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah. So the next day, I had 2 boys in Pee Wee football, and you couldn't leave them because they got hurt. You had to stay there.
Right.
So I sat under an oak tree overlooking the Ohio River in northern Kentucky and started handwriting my first book.
Now, people, I want you to remember a couple of things that she has said when we get into this program a little more. One of them, you lacked 3 or 4 book reports. Your teacher wrote that on your report card.
Oh, yeah, I have it, yeah.
And, she didn't like to read, and all of a sudden she gets hooked. Now, I've always liked to read, and I can read a lot, but I can't write. I mean, I can write, I can post a Facebook post, and I can write something like that, but to come up with this whole idea, this world, and these people, and trying to keep storylines, I'm not that way. But I was looking... How many series do you have in your right now? Several?
There are 7 series, and I just signed a new contract with the publisher out of New York for another series starting in 2018.
And that is amazing that you can have. I would have problems coming up with one and keeping it going more than one book, and you've got 8.
I do.
Where does all this come from? I mean, that's just. That's total. And how do you keep it straight? Or do these series intertwine? How does it work?
No. They're all different. And they're different with publishers, too.
Yeah.
For instance, the book, I have a book coming out this week on Friday, but I just had one come out that I'm with HarperCollins, which is William Murrow. I'm with their William Murrow division.
Yeah.
And so that might have an editor. I really have 3 editors there. And so they keep what's called a book Bible for me. And so every time I turn in a book, because I have a deadline, so they give me so many months to turn in a book. Then they'll come back with edits. And with their edits, they have all my characters, what they look like, all the town and the shops in town. Because I write all small town Kentucky.
How do you keep it straight, though? See, and then I can also, I've all these questions are popping in my mind. Because I'm seeing you, or I think, You know, you're writing about, well, name us one of the series. Just name one.
Well, the one that's actually named after Nicholasville, if you were to open up the book and look inside, it's all the same streets.
Oh, yeah?
And so when I write this series, I've got a map of Nicholasville. Totally different people, but and it's called the Kenny Lowry series. And the first book is dedicated to Nicholasville.
Okay, so the Kenny Lowry series. You're writing and
so I'm writing this series.
Whatever. You're writing a book about the Kenny Lowry series, and you're writing, and then does it just all, what's one of the other series? Just give me a
Ghostly Southern Mystery series.
Yep. Ghostly, so just in the middle of Kenny Lowry, does it pop in your head? Oh, wait a minute. I got something good for Ghostly. And you switch gear. How do you do that?
Yeah, but I can put it in the back of my head. And so a lot of times that happens to me about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'll keep a notebook next to the bed.
Yeah.
And my husband will say, oh, God, who's talking to you now? Because I'll pop up. But then I write it down. I keep a notebook for each one. And I'll put little bullet points. And so when I come back to that story, I know what it is. But each series has a different voice to it. Now, for like Kenny Lowry, she's a sassy sheriff, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she's a lot different than my Undertaker in one of my other series that's a little Southern girl. And so they all have different personalities. So I can kind of step into those roles.
Mm-hmm.
And so when one book is finished, I say that set of characters move out and the new set of characters move in my head. And I'm pretty good. Like today when I was getting ready, I was watching something on Netflix, and this girl was a columnist, an advice columnist. And I started laughing because I thought, oh, my gosh, how funny would it be? And I intertwined an entire plot while I was drying my hair for a series that I'm going to be doing in 2018. And so I quickly jot that down because that'll be like the third book in that series because I already got the first and second book plotted. But not written.
Did you, even though you didn't really think about being an author prior to him bringing it up.
Right.
Did this happen to you before that? Would you be standing around and you remember a time where you just think, oh, boy, that'd be a good story?
I could always tell a good story.
Yeah.
And then, you know, make people laugh because everything that I write has got humor to mm-hmm. it. And I'm like a quirky character in there. And so whenever I would tell a story, because things always, for some reason, would happen to me. And people would laugh, then I would like, oh, that would be funny. Or they'd say, oh, that could be funny in a book. And then I would think of, oh, what could I do with that, you know?
Yeah.
But not until in the book club and they mm-hmm. had said to me, you should write a book, did I really take it serious.
I am most amazed at the number of these series that you have and how you keep them going. And you just alluded to the fact that in the Kenny Lowry, you've got a sheriff, and in the Ghostly Southern, you've got a girl, Undertaker's era. Name your other series and maybe name that. What that character does. How much different does it get?
Well, the Kenny Lowry series, actually, that's, like I said, set in Nicholasville. And then the ghost, then I do a paranormal mystery. Mm-hmm. I thought I wrote romance in the beginning. And then a girlfriend of mine said, but there's always a dead body showing up. Are you sure you're not a mystery writer? I'm like, no, I'm romance. But I don't even read romance. But so that's how I got to mystery. And so I have another series where she... Because I write some paranormal. And so she sees auras, and so she can't hold down a good job. So she has a online breakup service. And so that's kind of a funny thing. You know, and then I have a straight mysteries about, there's six divorced women called the Divorce Diva, and they meet in the bottom of a Baptist church for their divorcee meeting. And they range from 19, they got married at a quickie wedding in Vegas, to an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
And so the tagline for that is fun and games to, you know, plot the demise of your ex until one shows up dead. So they're kind of all quirky and they're all different ages. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, have that age range. And the newest series that I have is a straight, the publisher had went to my agent and mm-hmm. asked if I was interested in writing this Southern series, because there's not a whole lot of Southern mystery authors out there mm-hmm. that can do Southern. You can't do cliches all the time. People kind of get sick of those, but they're still funny, you know, when you throw them in. But it's like the small town feel, the home cooking, all those kind of things. And so doesn't have any paranormal, but she's a wedding baker. So I actually have signed up to take baking classes.
Oh, wow. So you can learn.
So I research. Can learn how to bake. Yeah. So I've been to cop school. My brother-in-law is an undercover drug cop. And so, you know, my kids are like, oh, my gosh, now what is she trying to, you know.
And that's the interesting thing is you, in order to do it right, thought about that, you really got to go out and do a lot of legwork. This is... You know, I guess made it sound like it just all came to you. But if you're going to do it right, you got to find out. For instance, you mentioned the girl that was an undertaker.
Yes.
Having been one.
Right.
I know and that there's a lot of terms and a lot of things involved in that business that the normal person wouldn't know.
Right.
So, yeah, you really got to get into this and pretty quick.
Yes. And it's not that I use every term in the story.
Right.
Because in the Undertaker series, you know, it's a great series. The sixth book's coming out in February. She got hit on the head by a plastic Santa Claus that had fallen off of a small deli that she always went to. And then she woke up seeing dead people that she put 6 feet under. Instead, people that actually that they thought, like older people mm-hmm. that they thought had just died of natural mm-hmm. causes, but really they had been murdered. And so, you know, people say, oh, so what? Let her be haunted for the rest of her life. But when it was her grandmother, that's the number one suspect that she had to off. And the ghost kept saying it wasn't her, you know.
Yeah.
And so all my characters, you know, have a couple of different names because, you know, we always went by two names. And So when, you know, whenever they... You have to give them a reason to want to solve it for the reader to like it. And so a friend of mine, because what I do is write cozy mystery. And that's no blood, no guts, no gore,
yeah.
No sex,
yeah.
Rarely any kind of cuss words.
So it doesn't matter what age you show this book
right.
to. Everybody, it's family friendly.
Right, it's family friendly.
Yeah.
And so then they're funny, and they're always usually set with this amateur sleuth. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Agatha Christie, Murder, mm-hmm. She Wrote, mm-hmm. those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have any as, I don't know, I guess the word is elementary. Is elementary like as the, what
young
was
adult
the yeah, Encyclopedia Brown. Remember that?
Yeah.
When we were little?
Yeah.
Do you have any, do you?
Like Nancy Drew kind
yeah,
of things?
Yeah, do you vary your series for ages, or are they all kind of along the same line?
They are all along the adult line. Now, I do have people that have kids that do read it. I do have a witch series, and I'm not Wiccan. I don't know anything about it. I make it all up.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, my goodness. But she has been the most popular.
Really?
And I have 11 books in that series. And that has been the most popular because it's just like the what-if world.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know that she is, I call her homeopathic, but she makes potions. And so when somebody comes into her little shop, they come and say, oh, I've got this heartburn. She really makes a potion up for them that's really got heartache or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. But then, you know, when somebody is found dead that's been in her shop or, you know, then that's where all the mystery comes in and she has to solve it. And she has like a fairy god cat that, you know, so, but it's an adult, but it's kind of like, I guess, The Good Witch. Have you ever seen The Good Witch on Hallmark
No.
with Catherine Bell? So it's set along those kind of lines.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know those like mystery Hallmark and movies.
I think I've
the mysteries. Well, a lot of my friends' books have been
made into
movies.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of books that I write are the ones that are on the mystery.
How many books have you got out?
46.
46 books. Yeah. And at what book, if you can answer this, at what book, 1, 2, 3, 6, 10, whatever, did it dawn on you, oh my gosh, this is real. I'm an author. I'm, you know, did you have that revelation that just like, this is really happening?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have two different books the same week hit the USA Today bestsellers list. And it was in the same week.
Yeah.
And I thought, because I was still working my therapy job. I was still a therapist during the day, mm-hmm. mom of four boys, mm-hmm. sports, wife,
mm-hmm.
keeping a house, you know, and I did this at night and I wrote all the time and worked all the time mm-hmm. on this because it was a passion.
Right.
And so when I hit the USA Today bestsellers list, I started getting all these, you know, of course, the agent, you know, the publishers, the people wanting to talk to you. And
right.
This, that, and the other. Then I thought, oh, my gosh, this is like a business. This is like a real job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so my hobby has turned into, you know, a real job.
Your livelihood, your career.
And so what happened was that then more contracts started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 3 years ago, I couldn't do both jobs. And though I still love therapy, I still love that job, keep my certification up in case the book gig goes south.
Right.
You know, but it hasn't yet, knock on wood. Then that's when I started writing full time. And because I had deadlines to meet, mm-hmm. I started getting more series, mm-hmm. like the Kenny Lowry series, which is really kind of unprecedented. When they first came, when my agent first went to them about the series, usually they buy one or two books.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't make a whole lot of money in the book world. You make about 38 cents a book.
38 cents.
Yeah, that's real fun, right?
So that's one of those, I guess, let me ask you this. Is this kind of like if you were a Stephen King, that 38 cents.
You make a lot more than 38
cents. It's a whole lot more. Is it kind of your success kind of negates your pay, if you will.
You know what? It really does.
Yeah.
Because you get advances. And so most of the time, say, well, we'll just for number's sake, because it's just easy to say $5,000.
Yeah.
So say they give you $5,000 a book. So mm-hmm. you get 25%, or you get $2,500 up front. Your agent gets their cut, 15%.
Yeah. Right.
Sam gets his cut. Because at that point, you know, you're self-employed. And then you get the other $2,500 at the back end of the deal, mm-hmm. when the book comes out. Your mm-hmm. agent gets their 15%, and then Uncle Sam gets his cut, which right now is about 36%.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't make another dime until you buy, till your book makes $5,000 free and clear.
And sale.
Yeah.
So you'll get some royalties above the cost.
Well, I've been lucky enough that my agent is kind of a, well, she's a well-known agent,
yeah.
and so I don't have to pay back any of my royalties.
Well, is it kind of like, you know, in the music business and the DJ business, years ago, go back some now, at old NVL, there used to be a day when once a year, all us DJs would have to set for a week. And on a piece of paper, we'd have to write down every record we played. And you'd mail it in to ASCAP or BMI, and they would do this all over the country, and they'd figure averages of how many times a song played on average. And that's how they figured out the royalties for the artist. And now, of course, it's all digital, and you know the companies that provide our music kind of does that for us. How do they figure that with books? I mean, and if as long as that book is selling, mm-hmm. Tanya's getting something.
Oh,
is
yeah.
it royalties from
right.
now on as long as it's
the sale? Standard industry is about 8%.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is nothing. But I've got it to where if I sell so many books, I'll get 50% mm-hmm. now, from now on out.
Well, and you've got a lot of books,
right.
too. That
yeah.
helps.
Well, and it does help. And that's, you know, like I said earlier, my agent's getting calls from publishers
yeah.
saying, would Tanya be interested in doing this or, you know, doing that? So I'm kind of being able to, I'm
you
being
pick
able
and
to
choose.
Pick
and that's
kind
good.
Of what I'm doing. So I've made, you know, I've been doing this now as a professional career, just about 7 years. It's not been that long.
Wow.
My first book did get published, you know, and that usually is unheard of for a lot of people. It takes years and years.
Sure.
And years.
That's amazing.
So I'm lucky that I've got a good agent.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, with this Kenny Lowry series, when they first presented it, you usually only get a 2-book or a 3-book deal.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe about $15,000. Well, they offered me a 10-book deal, and they didn't. They just had
wow.
to go on the first, you know, the first couple chapters of one book.
Wow.
And so, and not only that, but they sold the rights, the audio rights to Dreamscape,
mm-hmm.
and which is a big, you know,
yeah.
audio movie house. And I've been fortunate enough to have like Lionsgate
right.
request my books and Hallmark
right.
and. That takes a few years, so I don't know where all that is. But
boy,
I like
to
tell people, I'm in the market to writing books, not writing movies.
But when that happens,
yeah.
Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever, I mean, if you're a writer, you've got to be a dreamer. You have
oh,
to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever
yeah.
sat back and thought, man, wonder which one will be made into a movie first? And won't that be the coolest feeling?
Yeah, and you know, the ones that they requested were more of a shocker to me than...
Really?
Yeah. And so, but a lot of my friends are having that dream come true now with Hallmark opening up,
mm-hmm.
Netflix opening
mm-hmm.
up, a lot of different channels opening up for these types of movies to be made. So.
What's Mom and Dad and Sis think about all this?
Well, I tell you what, they are so supportive.
Sure.
And I travel, you know, I try to travel as extensively as I can.
Mm-hmm.
My last son is a senior this year, and the other three are in college. So I was really close to the cuff. So now that, you know, they're pretty much on their own,
yeah.
I can travel a lot more. And, but a couple of years ago, I would have readers that say, oh, when are you coming out here? When are you coming here? So I started hosting my own reader event
mm-hmm.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I rent a train, a mystery train.
Really?
Yeah. And so I take about 100 readers. It's
wow.
first come, first serve. It usually sells out in about 2 hours. I put the tickets on sale in January and the events in October.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole weekend of mystery. We also stay on the train and eat and have a full live mystery
mm-hmm.
From a mystery troupe. And we stay in a hotel and we have a book signing. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. And I have my own street team called the Cozy Crew. And so we have the best. They have T-shirts and I have an assistant and she takes care of all that.
Yeah.
And so my mom and my sister travel with me.
Yeah.
And so, but every time I have a book signing, Dad will come. And I had a book signing in Lexington a year mm-hmm. ago, and they had ordered like 30 books. And I said, oh, you got to order more than that. I go, this is like hometown. And it was so great because everybody showed up, and, you know, it was so good seeing everybody. And all my old neighbors from Lone Oak came.
Sure.
And, all my family and relatives. And so they had a book sign up there, and they ended up selling out of all the books, but they did order more after. I said, listen, it's you got to do more. But, you know, they really are supportive. They've always been supportive of everything I've done. And they never once said, you mean to tell me we sent you to college all those years and, you know, we did that. Sure. You know, they've never done that. They've always been supportive of everything I've done. And my parents, they actually are heading up to Northern Kentucky when we leave here, mm-hmm. because my niece has a basketball game. Mm-hmm. They came to every sports game that my boys had. My son played here this weekend in Nicholasville, so we go to that.
Yeah.
And then my nephew, Ben, he played football, and our kids played lacrosse and baseball.
Yeah.
And, so we're always together. Everybody, all my kids, friends, I'll call mom and dad, granny and granddaddy. You know, they come down here. They go to a UK game. They'll stay at my parents' house. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just like they live up there. So they're supportive of everything. And so Tracy is supportive, but I'm supportive of her kids. Sure. I go to all their games.
Sure.
And so, you know, when I did the book thing, they said, you can do this. You can do this. You know, because, you know, when you're writing a book, it's not easy.
I'm sure.
And yeah, so sure. Halfway through, you kind of, you know, get the halfway through lag. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they're like, no, you can do this. And they read it, you know, for mm-hmm. me. And so I'm fortunate. I'm more fortunate than most.
Well, you got good parents. You have good parents and good family. Well, believe it or not, our time has has run out. But this has been so interesting. You know, I think about Jessamine County, and we have a lot of people who are from our county that have been very successful in a lot of different venues.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you might be the only author that I know of that we've ever had to come out of our county.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know of any.
You know what? Jonathan Miller wrote a book.
Yeah, he did.
And
yeah,
he was
Tom Miller's son that used to be at Nicholasville Baptist.
And I talked to him extensively mm-hmm. for a few months and met with him a few times. And his book's really good. And he self-published that. And I think it did real well.
But you got 46. Oh, my gosh. And folks, now listen, if you have been on wherever you buy books, whether it's Amazon or whatever, Barnes & Noble, wherever, if you've ever seen her name, you may not have thought a whole lot about it, but now you know that this is Jessamine County people right here. This is one of ours. So I want to urge you to go back and look again for that name. It's spelled K-A-P-P-E-S. And you will find a book that you will like. Guarantee it, because if you got 46 out, there's got to be one that everybody would like.
And Jessamine County, they're all small town. And Jessamine County really influenced my mm-hmm. writing. And you'll know, in every book, you'll know something from Jessamine County in the book.
Now, the one, and maybe this is a good place to get Jessamine County listeners started. Of course, we have some listeners different places. We have a lot of listeners to this program that are from Jessamine County, live in other states.
Right.
Let's say they want to read one that right off the bat, they'll say,
know.
She's talking about Nicholasville.
Yeah,
this series.
And it's
the Kenny
dedicated
Lowry
to
series.
Nicholasville, yeah.
And this is it. This was the first one?
That's the first
it's
one.
It's called Fixing to Die.
The second will be out to April.
And this is, and I guess they can find this
anywhere.
Normal places, Amazon or whatever.
Dedication is to Nicholasville.
That's what I was actually. Yeah. And I'll read that if you don't care.
Oh, sure.
Now, in your book, this is set in a little town called Cottonwood, Kentucky.
It's a fictitious town, but it's all the streets of Nicholasville.
And here's her dedication. Very nice. With love to my small hometown of Nicholasville, late at night, when I sit with my quiet mind, I can recall all the wonderful memories, small town love, and charm that helped me write the fictional town of Cottonwood. That is pretty cool. Very cool. So I want everybody that's listening to go, as soon as you turn your radio off, to go to one of those places where you can buy a book. And you've got, or I forget, you got a website, right?
I do, TanyaCappas.com.
.com, and they can go on there and probably look at all your different
Everything.
Series and see what you have available.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya, thank you so much
Thanks
for coming.
For
this has been
me.
Nice. It,
yeah.
It's cool because, you know, we was talking about people that have had different careers. We've had John Michael on. Of course, John, I guess, is the one who has done the best in that venue. And to have you on and to know that we've got, folks, it's right there, U.S. Today bestseller. That's amazing.
Thank you.
But we just wish you all the best of luck and tell your family hi. We sure appreciate them, too.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. My thanks to Tanya for coming in and sharing about her life and her family and her connection to Jessamine County. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning. Also, for all things Jessamine, we'll do it again next Saturday at 11. Also, hope you'll tune in my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 all for you right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.